2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to continue in a word that we've been dealing with concerning breaking through our natural living environment. 2 Corinthians, where are you at? And entering into the supernatural or the spiritual environment. And so today I want us to focus, today I want us to focus on breaking through to the supernatural, to the developing of supernatural eyesight. Now, while you're turning, I'm going to tell you something. How many of you are aware of the fact? Two things. One, that our natural senses, we always kick against these natural senses as far as being part of life. How many of you understand that there is a biblical pattern of coming into the presence of God, and our five senses is part of that plan? Anybody know where it takes place? Moses' tabernacle. Now, we're going to deal with one. I'm not going to tell you all of them, but today we're dealing with eyesight, which would take place whenever they walked into the first holy place and the candelier was next to them. That served to give them sight, eyesight, natural sight. It had been dark if they hadn't had that. And all of the other senses are there. You know, take a look at it. But here's something I want to give you, and you ought to find 2 Corinthians by the time I do this. In the book of Genesis, God creates man and female. And he makes a statement. He says, be fruitful and multiply and what? Replenish the earth. What's it mean to replenish? I mean, does anybody know a definition for that? I mean, I think I know what it means, but does anybody have a definition for the word replenish? Refill? Keep something going? Huh? Add to and replace? Replace. I like that part. And that's where my mind usually goes, that to replenish something means to restore something, to replace something, to put back in action something that's missing. Now, this is what you got to take home to think on. God told Adam and Eve to replenish the earth, but as we understand in Scripture, no man had ever been on the earth. So what were they replenishing? Told you to take it home. If man had never been on the earth before, why use the word replenish? Replace them if they'd never been there to start with. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? These are things that keep me up at night. It always is. That's why I won't attend your Sunday school. I'll walk in and say hello, and that's about it. And please forgive me and add to your prayer list this afternoon, Sister Frances. She's having a very difficult time at home with an illness. But I got to hustle. I'll kick some of this up. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, one verse 7, where Paul makes a statement saying what? We walk by faith and not by sight. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the word tells us that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and that it's the evidence of things what? Not seen. In the book of Romans, in the 12th chapter, in the 3rd verse, Paul makes a statement that we usually ignore because we're so fixed on 1 and 2. But look what it says. I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly. In other words, see yourself properly. See yourself in accordance with the way God has established you, because he has dealt to every one of us a measure of faith. Now, they've been arguing how big that measure is since I've been in the church and probably 100 years before. Nobody knows. All I know is it's enough. I don't know if it's a quarter cup, half cup, eighth cup, a third cup, or a gallon. It's enough. What other scriptures do I have left? Romans chapter, oh, Galatians, or 2 Corinthians, were you there? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verses 13 and 14, Paul makes a statement that I love this verse. Paul says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, now this is what is written, I believe, and therefore I speak. Even so, Paul said, we believe, and therefore we have spoken. Now notice, everything they're talking about is based on seeing something through faith. Seeing it through supernatural vision, not natural vision. Now, we've been looking at the last month or so concerning, you know, breaking through our natural barriers in order to cultivate or to live in the realm of the supernatural. Now, I've told you, it's been my ministry since I've been in ministry. But my ministry entirely is dedicated for one purpose, and that is to help everybody that sits under me to cultivate faith that will enable them to live a breakthrough life. My desire is that for everybody I ever minister to, then I can get them to a place that they are always advancing and never retreating, always ascending and never descending, always moving forward, never moving backwards. That is my entire ministry thought. And I know that to get there, we've got to get to this place of breaking through our natural environment or our personal environment. We looked at that 2 weeks ago. If you remember, if you haven't, you can pull it up. But we talked about breaking through our personal living environment as it related to cultivating life in the spirit realm. What is that personal living environment we dealt with? That includes your thoughts, your attitude, preconceived ideas, your emotions, as well as what you hear, see, and speak. All that is part of our natural living environment. But we've got to get to a place that we break through this. Using the word breakthrough is hard because I know we get confused. So let me say it this way. We need to get away to a place that we bring all of this that God gave us naturally under the control of the supernatural, under the control of the spirit realm. And God has established that for us. Now notice what Paul said. He said, we walk by faith. In other words, we live our life. And I want to tell you something. Paul didn't say that you walk by faith. Paul didn't even say that his God will supply all your need. He didn't say that. There's a lot of things Paul didn't say that we say. Paul said we, speaking of his people, walk by faith. Now, if you are a person that walks by faith, then Paul's talking about you. If you're a person that lives by, speaks by what you believe and what you have heard, then Paul's talking about you when he says, we have the same spirit of faith as it is written. I believe, therefore I speak. Well, if your concept is you believe and therefore you speak according to the word of God, you are a person that walks by faith. Because that's what it means. It means to live your life based upon the convictions that you've established from hearing the word of God. That's what it means. I am so persuaded by this word that that's how I live, regardless of what I see. I'm sorry, are you giving me signals in the back? No? Okay. I didn't know if my mic was messed up. I've been having a fit with it. And I don't know who found this little top piece, but I appreciate it. Thank you, and whoever it was. You found it? Where were it? Okay. I lost it a couple weeks ago. Now, we're living in a day where a large percentage of the church says, I'll believe it when I see it. However, true faith walkers live by the slogan, I say it, I believe it, therefore I'll see it. And I want to tell you something, we're going to see it. But in order to see it, listen, every single thing that's going to take place, we're going to be able to see. Problem is, most of what's taking place and going to take place is in the spirit realm. And you have got to develop spiritual eyesight to do that, to see that. You're not going to see in the spirit what's going on if you're looking with natural eyes. But I believe this word, therefore I'm going to see what it says. Now, in Acts 27, Paul's on a sinking ship. It's going down. An angel of the Lord speaks to Paul about the outcome of that situation. Paul comes up on that ship and he makes a statement. He says, I believe God. Now, they're in a boat sinking in the ocean. God had given him a word concerning it. He said, I believe God that it's going to be exactly what he said it was going to be. While he was sinking in a ship. And guess what? Everything God said it was going to be was exactly what it was when the night was over. And Paul said, I believed it while we were still going down. Listen, only you can answer these questions. Are you so persuaded by God's ability to perform his word? Do you have such a conviction? Are you convinced that God can do and has done everything he says in this word? Are you persuaded by that? Because if you're not, you're never going to live in the spiritual realm. You can be born again and never experience the spiritual realm. Because you never advanced through that. Now, here's where we get to where some problems are. The powers of darkness will use absolutely everything they can to hinder you from developing in the spirit realm. I mean, the forces of hell will intensify all of the inconveniences that you face in life until they become, in your eyes, as insurmountable problems, impossible mountains. But do you know what problems are in the eyes of God? You know what problems are in the Word of God? Any of you ever read in the Word of God where somebody was having a problem? Problems in the Word of God are simply God's opportunity to perform the miraculous. That's all the problem is. We got a financial problem. No. We have a situation that God's miraculous power can take care of. We have some physical problems. No. We have some situations that are ripe and ready for the miracle power of God to flow through and operate. Now, I'm not telling you something that we don't know. But I'll tell you this, Satan, he'll enlarge every one of your conditions until they appear to look like Mount Everest sitting next side of you. And you're standing there with no ability. But when you process things through spiritual eyes and you see your circumstances through spiritual eyes, you begin to view all of the problems of life as miracle opportunities. Whenever we see things in their proper perspective, we'll start saying and joining in with the psalmist who said, oh, come, let us magnify the Lord together. Let us exalt his name forever. And church, when we start to magnify God, what happens? Immediately, when we magnify God, we see Him larger than our problem. Because that's what magnification does. Whatever the object is you are looking at, whatever object you're magnifying, it makes that object appear to be larger than what it actually is. Now, when we do it with God, we're not making Him look larger than He is. He is larger than we can see. But it gets our mind fixed on God's larger than this problem. God's greater than this circumstance. We need to stop and we need to refuse to allow the gates of hell to hinder us all any longer. I talked to a brother this morning. Let me say it this way. My number one prayer request today is this: that God will wake up the church and that we'll get up and say something about something. I mean, my Lord, church, do you know, and I can say this because I'm not talking political, this is a spiritual thing, do you know that even the church of Satan has lifted their voice now? They're raising their voice concerning their rights as citizens of this country? They are suing the state of Texas because of the abortion laws in Texas? And the church of Satan is saying, if you stop the abortions, we need that because we need to do certain things in our ceremonies, which is telling us what? They've got to have some parts of those babies to perform their ceremonies. Now, whether they need them living or dead, I don't know, but they're suing the state of Texas because Texas has made a new law. Even the church of Satan has got enough backbone to stand up. Surely the church of God can rise. We got to stop letting the gates of hell intimidate us. Take our eyes off the circumstances. Start seeing them as miracle opportunities. If nothing else, see them as a chance for Yahweh to manifest Himself to us. Remember the word, was it the last word we did or the week before that? Was it in John or Luke, John 14 or Luke 22? I think it's Luke 22. Where at the end of that reading, Christ said that after these things, and He said, I will manifest Myself. I'm looking for that. And I'm believing in that. So what I do, I meditate on the unlimited power of God's word. Whenever I meditate on God's word, my mind is drawn to the words of Paul. Where Paul said, now unto Him. Now watch what happens, because here's no one place we miss something. Now unto Him who is able to do what? Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's what Paul wrote, isn't it? What Paul didn't write was this. Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding above all of what we can ask. He didn't say that. He said He can do above all we ask. Not what we can ask. All we ask. It's not what I can ask God for. It's what I ask God for. Do you understand that? See, these little words can get us to miss a great insight into God's word because we quote it wrong. But when I think of God's power, I think of His ability, I do go to that passage in Philippians 4. And I can claim that my God will supply all my need according to His riches and glory. Why? Because I honor Philippians 4:19. And I pastor a church that honors Philippians 4:19. And because of that, this church that you're a part of, you can claim that promise. And you say, well, what I've got to ask for, what I've got to have supplied is just far too great. Remember, God's able to do exceeding abundantly. Now listen, and again, and somebody said it this morning, but listen. God didn't say, the word didn't say, that God is able to do exceedingly abundant. It said God's able to do exceeding abundantly. So he's saying that God can exceed abundance. Ah, sucky, sucky. When you're all riding home, that'll kick in. You say, great, I see it. I just hope you're parked at a light when it sinks in. God does, he exceeds abundance of what you ask or even think. When I focus on God's unlimited power, I can't do that without going back to the word of the psalmist when he said how that God brought me up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a solid rock, established my goings, and placed a new song in my mouth, even praise unto my God. Many will see it and come to respect God on it. Those words hit me September the 10th, 1977. That was the night I gave the Lord my life. I can't explain that again. I've explained it enough. I said enough what happened that night. When I think of God's ability, I think that, all right, with me. My wife gave me a list of honeydew things last night. And I walked away and I just laughed. Not happening. I sat on the bed and she decided to come in the room and keep it going. I said, just close the door on your way out. I'm going to bed. Well, just one more thing. I noticed you're holding your stomach. Are you okay? I thought, my God, I must feel really bad if she's noticed it. I mean, she notices everybody's struggles but mine. You know, with me, it's just, if you get up and do this for me, you'll feel better. You go out and clean up the garage for me, you'll feel better. You paint the doors for me, you'll feel better. Burn some paperwork that she don't want the government to ever see again. I'm only playing enough. She does want me to burn some papers. We ain't got nothing to do with the government. Burn that paperwork, you'll feel better. Go to the store for me, you'll feel better. Go put gas in my car, you'll feel better. And so I'm just going to tell you now, I've done all that. And I don't feel better. When I look at God's unlimited power, even with me, I say, with me, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Now, if you're wondering, you want to know the end of this conversation her and I are having here right now, I'm not asking God to get in on this one. So it's not going to be none. You'll be able to do it because it's possible with God. I'm not asking him to get in it. I'm telling you, it's between me and her. Just you sit there and just watch. It's going to be fun. What do you think about when you think of God's unlimited power? When's the last time you thought about God's unlimited power? Do you ever think about God's unlimited power? I know you do. I'm still holding the text you sent me. You sent me a text months ago, and I still keep that text on every once in a while. My wife told me last night I need to start watching certain ministers. I don't need to watch ministers. I get these texts and stuff from people, and I keep some of them on my phone, and I pull them up. Because they do far more for me than what some guy on television is going to do. I sit under Sister Bruce. She'll do far more for me than any of the TV ministers can ever do. Man, I got time. That's my problem. I got too much time up here. Let me say this and move. Church, there's something we've got to get in that crawl again. God said something to Jeremiah. in chapter 32. God said it, and Jeremiah said it back to him a little later in that chapter. God asked Jeremiah a question. He said, well, Jeremiah asked God a question first. He said, is there anything too hard for my God? Within hours, Jeremiah was sinking deep in his prison experience. And I think it's verse 26 where God come back and said to Jeremiah, is there anything? I love when God does this to me. I'll call out some positive attribute about God, and 15 minutes later, I'm booing, crying, laying on the floor, trying to climb under a chair so I can't be seen by nobody. And that very positive attribute I gave God 15 minutes ago, God has said right back to me. Let me tell you something, the truth still stands. There's nothing too hard for our God. Now, before I move into these three little points, and they're short, don't be like so many. I don't know if you're this way or not, but don't be like so many who live their life and simply say about everything that happens, it's all in God's hands. God's in control of all this. That's not true. Whatever's in God's hands is what you hand him. If you don't hand him something, it's not in his hand. Whatever God is in control of, you gave it to him. God's not in control of everything that's going on. If so, we wouldn't have half of this stuff going on. Would God be in control of killing unborn babies? Would God be in control of the hatred and the nastiness that's going on? Would God be in control of all these ideological wars that are taking place? No. Man's in control of that. Oh, Pastor, you know, you're getting crazy. Answer simply with this. The psalmist said, the heavens belong to God, but what? The earth belongs to man. But if you'll put it in his hands, if you turn it over to him, he can control that problem you're having, that situation you're dealing with, that struggle you're going through. He wants you to do it. I want you to contact me when you're hurting. Text me, email me, call, whatever, leave a message, whatever. I want it. Week and a half ago, Marty called me. She had had food poisoning. And I said, Marty, why didn't you call me? Well, Pastor, you're too busy for stuff like that. I said, Marty, what do you think I do? She said, well, Pastor, so many people. I said, Marty, how can you lay home 3 days with food poisoning and not call me? And I know you didn't call my wife because she'd have told me. Well, you guys are just too busy. Listen, I'm telling you, all of you, I'm not that busy. I may be busy at the very second you call, but I'm not that busy that I won't hinder what you call me for. Very next night, I don't know what's going on with me in 2:30, but 2:30 in the morning, my wife woke me up. And I looked at her and I said, who is it? And she said, it's Marty. I said, where's she at? Intensive care. I jumped up, took a shower, and was at the hospital. Didn't know they didn't want me to be there. I mean, she did, but I don't know if y'all know. If any of you go to the hospital, I'm telling you now, I can't get in no more. They won't let me in to see people. Go back to that. But listen, church, I'm not that busy. If you're hurting, call me, contact me, text me. Don't keep me on the phone for no hour, hour and a half. Tell me your situation. That's why I like to text. Tell it to me. If you need to talk through something, fine, we talk through it. But Pastor T can't do hour phone calls. They hurt me. They what? Yeah, they get on my nerves. Not the person, the time. Did that get me out from under that? Did that work? Just checking. Right, I'm not going over my time today. I know I've been playing a lot. But let me get into this. If we're going to walk in the realm of the Spirit, we have got to stop living our lives according to what we see with our natural eyes and perceive with our natural understanding. And so, well, let me just say, there's three wonderful qualities for developing spiritual eyesight. And I'm giving it to you very quickly. Number one, spiritual eyesight is not limited by time or space. More than 1,000 years before the birth of Christ, Abraham functioned with spiritual eyesight when he saw the day, the promised day of the Messiah coming. He saw it 1,000 years before it happened. And of him, Yeshua said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it." 1,000 years before he was born. Why? Because spiritual eyes are not restricted by space or limited by time or space. Secondly, they penetrate the invisible. Listen in the sink. Let's stick with Abraham because he looked into the invisible realm. He looked into the eternal realm. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. 1,000 years before the Lord came. Hebrews 11 tells us that he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham never gave up hope, but he kept his faith alive, vibrant, and focused on that he could only see in the spirit realm. And as a result of that, Hebrews 6 says that after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Listen, Abraham took hold of the promises of the Lord. We need to cling to things. And then lastly, quality of supernatural eyesight is we see God as he is. I can't comment all these, so I'm just going to say them. When you see with spiritual eyes, you see God as a strong tower. Strong tower was the highest and most fortified place that was built in a city so that when the enemy came, if they would overpower the city, you could run into the strong tower and run to the top, which would be far too high for the people down to get and far too thick to get into. And in Judges 9, there's a beautiful story where a woman threw a rock off of the high tower, hit a king in the head, and he was about to die, and he begged his little imp beside him. He said, "Kill me, because if you don't, they're going to make songs that a woman killed me." And so he put him to death. See, God is that strong tower we run into, we're safe. When you see with spiritual eyes, we start seeing God as a present help in time of trouble. Elijah, one time under attack and assault, his little imp was crying and boo-hoo. Elijah turned around and said, "Oh, God, open his eyes." And he did. And he looked around the mountain, and it was filled with chariots of fire. And Elijah said, "There's more with us than there is against us." When we start seeing God as he is through natural spiritual eyes, we see him as a healer. In Matthew chapter 8, the centurion soldier saw the healer, nothing else. And he looked at the healer and he said, "Speak a word only, and my servant will live." That was a Roman centurion did that. And then lastly, we see God through spiritual eyes. We see him as an aid. Whenever we're under attack, we join the psalmist as he said, "I lift my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help." I'll bring these others back next week. But in Genesis, Yahweh told Abraham to raise his sight. He said, look past what you're actually looking at. Because what he was looking at wasn't much. It was a barren piece of property. As far as the natural eye could see, and God said, raise your sights. Look up higher. And God said that as his seed, we receive the same call. Raise your sight and start seeing what God has prepared for you. Jeremiah said it this way. Thus says the Lord, if you return, then I will bring you again, and you will stand before me. And if you take away the precious from the vial, you will be as my mouth. If you take away the precious, separate them. God said, you'll be just like my mouth. So I encourage you, not just your natural, your personal living environment as far as your mind goes, but start cultivating spiritual eyesight so that you can see what God wants you to see. Amen? Rise up with me if you would. Then just pray with me. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, you've released a lot that I wasn't even prepared for today. I just pray that we will be able to comprehend and take in those parts that are beneficial to our life at the present time, and that we remember those things in the future as new experiences come against us. Most importantly, help us to start seeing you as you truly are. As we sung, the hero of my heart. And Lord, let our lives be lived to your glory and honor. In Christ's name. And now I pray that the grace and peace of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ will rest upon each and all of every one of us as we depart your sanctuary, but never your presence. Bring us back at the next appointed time in Christ's name. Amen. Bear in mind, if you stay in the Word, it'll keep you from worry. God bless you.